Hello, and welcome to the National Park Service Southwest Archaeology Podcast, brought to you by the Southern Arizona Office. My name is Matt Gubard.
And I'm Charlotte Hart.
All right, so in honor of Parks to Classrooms Month, we'll be talking about archaeology and education. We'll be interviewing Rebecca Renteria, graduate assistant with the Linking Hispanic Heritage through Archaeology program. And as always, we'll be answering your questions.
So the Linking Hispanic Heritage Through Archaeology program has been funded by the Washington Office of the National Park Service for a couple of years now. And I was lucky enough to get to talk to some of the this year's participants before they graduated back in June, and it was just a really inspiring conversation, Matt.
So great, and education programs in archaeology are not a new thing; they've been going on for years and years. But this is a special program.
Yeah, this program specifically is aimed at reaching out to Indigenous and Hispanic youth and also teachers. It's a really interesting cohort that's put together where you have high school kids as well as some high school teachers. And that way the idea is that the education will kind of compound and become this domino effect of outreach from the Park Service. So the teachers and the youth apply in the wintertime and then spend the spring and early summer visiting national parks. They actually get to participate in an archaeological excavation and just investigate history and heritage throughout Southern Arizona and Central Arizona, both in the national parks and then also through through their own families.
Cool, and I think that's it's important to mention that archaeology has always been a study of people, but often there hasn't been as much inclusion as we would like, and so this is an opportunity for kids to actually participate in archaeology that's focused on their own ancestry in some ways.
Exactly, yeah. And the cohort ends up becoming a little bit of a familial group themselves. I talked to Joy Noriega, who's a local high school teacher in the Tucson area, and she and then one of the students, Rosenda, both talked about how having essentially mixed ages, having teachers and students together, they were able to learn far more out of the program and get far more out of it for themselves and bring back to their families.
Cool.
Yeah. They also talked about how being on site, whether it was at the archaeological excavations or whether it was at a national park, they were able to see technologies and tools that harken back to their own experiences, and that made the connection all the deeper to the national parks. So I'm here with Matt Gubard, and we're talking with Rebecca Renteria, who is the graduate assistant for the Linking Hispanic Heritage Through Archaeology program. So thank you for joining us today, Rebecca.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So Rebecca, to start us off, just tell us a little bit about the Linking Hispanic Heritage Through Archaeology program.
So Linking Hispanic Heritage Through Archaeology, or LHHTA, is a program that essentially brings together high school students and high school teachers, all from high schools around Tucson. And the goal is to provide an archaeology experience and education for the students, but in the context of the local histories that kind of tie to the personal heritage of the students and the teachers as well, the high school teachers.
So you have a mixed cohort of
of students.
So. We do, exactly, yeah. So we have freshmen through senior students, senior high school students, and then we have three high school teachers or high school educators who, you know, even if they're not a teacher in the traditional aspect, they have a lot of contact with high school students who provide them with opportunities.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. And what activities do they do?
So because it's so based around archaeology education, we have a lot of really good community resources. We visit sites like Mission Garden that are kind of in more of an urban Tucson setting, and it has a very rich historical and pre-contact aspect. We have a lot of Park Service sites that we visit, archaeological sites. So this year we visited Saguaro National Park, East and West. At Saguaro West, they worked with the archaeologist out there and worked on cleaning up a Conservation Corps camp site. We visited Casa Grande Ruins National Monument.
Yeah.
And we did preservation work on one of the compounds there. So, you know, we really try and do a lot of hands-on work, but also with the goal of getting the students involved in these sites that directly tie to maybe some of the places that they came from. And we also visit Montezuma Castle and Well and Tuzigoot and the Grand Canyon. And we just do a variety of activities at these sites, and we kind of try and contact and work with archaeologists specifically at these parks to kind of talk with us about how archaeology is being done today and in the context of modern times. And in addition to our park visits and site visits, we also are based out of the University of Arizona as well, and so we do activities at different archaeology-related labs on campus. So we visit the AMS lab, or the radiocarbon lab, and the Laboratory of Tree Ring Research, and the Southwest Ceramics lab, and zooarchaeology and bioarchaeology. And we essentially just try and, you know, connect the dots with all of the places that we visited and heritage and the scientific aspect of things. And yeah, it's just tying everything together and trying to create these very enriched experiences that hopefully the students will get something from.
Nice. So you do a lot of like hands-on activities. Do you find that that really is a better way to connect heritage?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the coolest experiences that I felt like we had with the hands-on experiences was at the Arizona State Museum, where we met with Dr. Nancy Odegaard and Gina Watkinson, and they kind of put together a bunch of little different workshops for us, but there was one where there was a big granary made out of local plants. And so they kind of helped involve us in the conservation aspect of this big granary. So the kids basically helped vacuum it to get it to a state where they could continue working on it. But in that process, there were a couple of girls who were like, oh, like my grandma like has baskets that she's woven like these, or that they recognize from being passed down in their families. And so while we go to national parks and while we go to labs at the U of A and we just see these things, it was an entirely different experience to be working with the materials themselves and to have the students have like a personal connection to what they're working on, but then related to their history.
Nice,
which is really neat.
So it sounds like the program isn't necessarily aimed at making high school students into archaeologists. It's just using archaeology as a vehicle to sort of get at all of these other subjects?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. Ideally, it would be really neat to kind of have the students realize how much power they kind of have with archaeology. I feel very much that way. It took, you know, I dropped out of school for many years, and once I kind of discovered what archaeology was and kind of how it can create histories for people who don't have a written history or who haven't been given that chance to kind of be more present in history, that's the way I felt about it. And so while we aim to give students these experiences, kind of the underlying hope is that some of the students can, and it won't be every student, but you know, some of the students will take this and realize that they can really do something with it to kind of give a voice to people who haven't always had it in the past. And I do feel like we've had some conversations with some of the students where, you know, they really get it. So
nice.
My hope is that we get some archaeologists out of the program. So
you also visited an archaeological field school out in New Mexico that's run by a nonprofit, also local here to Tucson, called Archaeology Southwest. And unfortunately, I didn't overlap with you, but I was there the week after talking about careers in the Park Service. So I just wanted to know, how did you make digging in that hot sun exciting for those students?
It was hard, but, you know, you get students out there and in the heat and in the humidity and in, like, mosquito territory.
Yes.
Like, so it's really hard to kind of, like, as an adult, like, it's like, I have a hard time doing this, but the students kind of don't feel that way. Sure, they're irritated by all of those things, but once you get them digging and kind of finding artifacts and relating what they're finding to what they've seen in the program up until that point, all of that kind of like doesn't, all of those factors don't really seem like they play into getting the students excited. And sure, we leave at the very last day and everyone's pretty like tired, but while we're there, it's the camaraderie with the students from Archaeology Southwest, who are the students in the program, who are kind of teaching our students. It's just such an amazing combination of that.
Nice. So the students in the field school who are college-age students are then teaching your participants as well.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's been a really good opportunity for the field school, college field school students with Archaeology Southwest to kind of talk about what they've learned. Because I think up until that point, they've just been learning from the instructors, from the professors out in the field. So up until this point, they've just been students. But once our program was able to kind of go out there and, you know, it was a good opportunity for those students to just really talk about how much they knew how to do archaeology at that point, and really guide our students in how to excavate and record and identify artifacts. So it's really neat.
Nice. So when I was there and got to just go out for a couple hours in the morning, one of the field school students found, like, in quick succession, a piece of a perforated plate and then a three-quarter axe with, like, pigment on it. And it was just, like, the site was so rich, and it kept, like, you know, this one student specifically just had, like, you know, he had all the luck. But so I was wondering if your students had any aha moments when they were there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the big moments is so when we go out to the field school, half our time is spent with the field school students out in the field excavating and recording. The other half is spent with Alan DeNoyer, who does a lot of kind of experimental archaeology with us, And so, you know, we spent time with Alan, and he does flint knapping with us specifically. And so we're out flint knapping, and we're making projectile points, and we're making a mess. We're making a mess everywhere with these flakes, and we just have piles. And everyone has different types of piles, and because everyone flint knaps a little bit different. And so this was our experience. And so when we're out in the field and the students see that they're coming across a bunch of debitage, and they see it's just like just tons of flakes, and they just kind of think about it, and they keep, you know, excavating and finding flakes. And I feel like one of the aha moments was kind of like hearing one of the students say, oh, like, I made a mess just like this yesterday.
It's brilliant.
And it's just like, I get the chills thinking about it, because it's just this moment at which you see everything kind of coming together in the experiences the students have had in the program. So
nice.
That's really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to apply to be the graduate assistant for the program?
I think initially I had heard a little bit about it from Dr. Barbara Mills at the University of Arizona, and you know, I was kind of trying to piece together some work experience, archaeology work experience at the U of A, and I kept bugging her about it once I kind of heard a little bit about the program. And but what inspired me about it, what kept me really bugging her, was the fact that, you know, after having been an archaeologist in Tucson for a little bit, which it's what I enjoy doing, it's my passion, but I hadn't really quite yet seen a program that really tried to take in and consider groups, local groups. And so once I heard about this program, it was like, all right, well, linking Hispanic heritage and then through archaeology was just, it seemed like too good of a program to exist, but it existed. And so for me, that's what inspired me. It was not having heard about a program like this and then realizing that like there is a lot of opportunity in this program for students and the community. So
nice.
Yeah.
So and as a graduate assistant, you're supposed to be also getting something out of it.
Sure.
What have you gotten out of the program?
Oh my goodness, I have just gotten so much. I mean, it's in a sense kind of rerouted the trajectory that I initially saw for myself when I started grad school. Yeah, I had done like some community service as an undergrad, and so that was nice, and I kind of, you know, have continued to like figure out a way to continue doing work and community service. But in terms of how do I continue doing archaeology and community service, that I think is kind of what I've really gotten out of the program.
So the Parks to Classrooms, or Parks as Classrooms, programming from the National Park Service aims to develop inquiry and place-based programming in national parks. How has LHHTA done that for archaeology and Hispanic heritage?
I think LHHTA has done that by getting at what it means to be, number one, Hispanic. It's a very loaded term, but it's kind of the one that's used, but it's the one that kind of seems to be,
it ends up being a catch-all.
Yeah, it ends up being a catch-all. And so, but what that means is, in this program we have students from Tucson, but in reality we have students who have Tohono O'odham ancestry or Yaqui ancestry or Hopi or Zuni or Navajo ancestry, and it's really much more than while they fall under this umbrella of being Hispanic, the fact is there's so much more to the identity of these students. And so by visiting these sites that have Native American or Indigenous histories, a lot of the students, I think, really are able to put more of a voice or words to understanding a little bit more about where they come from, rather than just having their entire lives to say that they're Hispanic. Really, there's so much more to it. And it is a catch-all word, but it's also, there's a lot to it. And so by visiting these sites, it just allows some of the students to kind of figure out some things, and it helps us as instructors and kind of teachers of these students to learn things as well. I don't know, it's...
I think something that we struggle with in the Park Service, and maybe this is me having my background being a frontline ranger, is that any given national park has their enabling legislation. And so you have a park or a monument that was created for X, right? But really, that's a multivocal story. And so how do we as interpreters end up being able to tell all of the different stories? And for me, I think archaeology is the best way, and I think you said this a couple questions ago, that you can really get at, you know, the stories that were told, but then you can see people on the land who didn't necessarily get to write their own history at that point. So is that, can your students see that in when they visit parks?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really empowering to kind of be at these places, and a lot of the students have never left Tucson, so once we can kind of travel a little bit farther north or south, and provide an experience for the students to actually be in places where they came from, it's honestly like an experience that's just beyond words, because it's just feelings and emotions that you get from being in a place.
Right. What connections do the participants draw from NPS sites? And as we're talking, I'm thinking about, you mentioned that you do preservation work at Casa Grande this last year, or that the participants, you got at least a chance to try their hand at it. So was there anything there or in one of the other sites you visited that was a particular connection?
Yeah, I would say... when we visited Casa Grande and we were doing some of the preservation work, essentially what we were doing was we were capping with adobe one of the wall areas in one of the compounds. And one of the students particularly, she was doing it and was just like super into it, like even more so than like anyone else. And we were like, man, you're like really, really good at this. And she like said that it was like, you know, in her blood, and it was like the way, you know, she had heard about how her family used adobe to build, because they use adobe to build structures. And so that was really cool. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that was neat.
That's great. Do you know if she's going to, like, go on and be an adobe master?
That would be cool. I mean, so she was one of the younger students, for sure, but has taken advantage of visiting the university for different reasons, different opportunities. I do see that she would continue at least questioning things that are related to archaeology. So,
cool.
Yeah.
What other impacts have you seen from the program?
In the time that I've been involved with the program, the impacts that I've seen have been that the students kind of maintain communication with us about what they've learned in the program. So, like, one of the students still sends me photos of projectile points that he's, like, flintknapped and that he's continuing to develop his
awesome.
Techniques and his style. And, you know, another one of the students who hears about different archaeology things going around town, and, you know, she'll just email me and say, oh, I heard about this. Like, and so that's really neat. So I think the biggest thing that I've seen is through engagement and continuous engagement, just continuing to keep the students intrigued up until this point, because while it is high school and they have just so many other things on their plate besides even just going to school, you know, it's just maintaining that interest, but also the trust that we kind of created in the time that we had them in the program. So
nice. So it's not just like a one and done kind of program. That's part of it is linking personal connections.
Exactly. And I mean, a huge part of it for me is that I want students from the community to be able to go out and do archaeology and to feel like they can pack the same punch that any other archaeologist does. But it is really important for students who have grown up in communities to kind of be that next generation of archaeologists. And and maybe it's one-sided, but, you know, that's my history. That's where I came from. And it took me a long time to kind of realize that, but I'm hoping that that through this program we can just get students exposed to this at a much earlier age, so that way once they do get to a university or a community college, they can just kind of hit the ground running with that knowledge already. So
nice. What are your plans after you graduate?
My plans once I graduate are to continue doing archaeology. I really enjoy the research aspect of it, and I think eventually we'll pursue a PhD program somewhere, but for the time being, the current kind of the climate is such that it's a really important time to get students involved in archaeology, but with the ends of being able to empower communities. And that's kind of the work that I think I'm gonna do for a while before going back to school.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you might have sort of addressed this, but has your participation in this program, has it affected your research interests? Has it changed what you think you might want to do if you go on to get a PhD, for instance?
Absolutely. I mean, my thesis, I had an idea that was really well developed as soon as I started. Even before I started, it was work that I was doing as an undergrad. But it was kind of reframed once I started working with this program, and reframed in the way of having more of a consciousness about the people that I'm looking at in my thesis, and kind of took on more of an angle of looking at ethnicity and what it means to people, and why it's important, and why it's important for descendants of these people to to have a tangible connection to the past, and that's something that hasn't always been present in my research, you know. So.
Nice.
Yep.
That's certainly not something that's been present in archaeology in general until, I guess you could say, recently, and still that's something that needs to be developed more, I think.
Certainly.
Who better to tell the stories than the peoples who have ancestors who lived them?
Exactly.
Yeah, we need more archaeologists from a variety of backgrounds in the Park Service. So the program is called Linking Hispanic Heritage Through Archaeology, but as we mentioned, Hispanic ends up being kind of a catch-all term, and it's essentially a colonial term. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I have received, you know, some comments from the community basically with that sentiment as well, and it's, you know, it's this idea that kind of on paper lumps together a group of people to make progress or whatever in some sort of way, but it is a very complicated term that, you know, some of the feedback from the community has been such that it obscures the Native American ties or indigenous ties that people have to a place or to a history. And it's, you know, it's a term that I have issue with because of those reasons as well. But you know, it's something that I think in the future will be addressed, and for the time being,
it is what it is. so as a catch-all, it ends up obscuring everything that it's catching.
At times, yeah, okay. For sure.
So thank you for joining us today, Rebecca. I appreciate your time. Is there a place that our listeners can go to find out more about the program?
There is. We have a Facebook page. If you search for LHHTA, you'll be able to find our page where we have photos and kind of little blurbs about our visits to the places that are part of the program. We post different opportunities kind of related to the program as well. And yeah, it's a good place just to kind of see what we're doing as a program and you know, the students we're working with and the teachers we're working with and all of our partners. And yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. We'll also put that link on our website. And thank you again so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Wow, so you know, this month being Parks to Classrooms month, a lot of the time I tend to think of education as kind of a one-way street where teachers are imparting knowledge to students, which is really important. But what I'm hearing from Rebecca is that it ends up being kind of like a two-way street with folks looking at their own identities.
Right, yeah, it sounds like these young people are really taking a role in sort of their own education and actively participating as much as they are learning directly from the instructors.
I hope that that's a role that all of our national parks and monuments can play in education.
So one of the questions that we've gotten is how can teachers get help from the National Park Service in teaching about archaeology and history?
So that's a really good question, and there are a number of ways that I can think of that teachers can get involved or get help. And the first and very basic one is that teachers should contact the local national park or national monument that's closest to them. So each national park and monument or historic site, they all have their own ability to do outreach and their own rangers that could either facilitate a
field trip at the national park, or can sometimes come to the classroom if you know, if funding is an issue. We all know that busing is a big issue and costs more and more each year. So so that's the first step, is getting to know, you know, your local parks and monuments. The next idea is that on all of our websites, we have lesson plans that teachers can take advantage of. So if you go to nps.gov, there's a for teachers section, and that'll group all of the lesson plans from parks and monuments and historic sites across the country.
Great.
The National Park Service Southwest Archaeology Podcast is a production of the Southern Arizona Office of the National Park Service. Our artwork was designed by Laura Varen Burkhart. Justin Mossman composed our music. We look forward to hearing from you. Matt and I will be with you again next month.